O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Cast out our sin and enter in. Because you can't have both, can you? We can't have Christ and our sin. It's one or the other. Cast out our sin and enter in. I want to talk to you this morning from a passage, very briefly, from a book of the Bible that we don't always associate with this time of the year, the book of John. Matthew and Luke, of course, give us a lot of information concerning the birth of Christ. John gives us precious little concerning his birth, actually, very little. But John has other terminology. For example, the word love appears in the book of John more than any of the other three gospels combined. John is called the love apostle. Words like love, beloved, loved, etc. You see those a lot in John. You also see a phrase in John that you don't see so much in the other writers. I am come, he says. Various reasons he gives for saying I am come. So we want to talk this morning just briefly about why he came. He made statements. Christ made statements about why he came. I am here because. Now, he didn't say it quite that way, but today I want to read to you and speak briefly about this from John chapter 10. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door of the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ comes in order to share and spread life. Did you hear what he said just before that? All the others who came before me are thieves and robbers. So I have a question for you today, actually three questions. My central idea being there is no life outside of Christ. Three questions for you. Would we know life outside of Christ? That's my first question. Would we know life outside of Christ? Secondly, are there any other sources of life? Is Christ one source among many? Can we go other places and find sources? And thirdly, what does life outside of Christ look like? Kay Rubacek has written a book called Who Are China's Walking Dead? What she did was she did a study. She wanted to find out about the effects of godlessness on a culture. Now, I could say communism, but godlessness and communism are pretty much the same thing. If you say one, you say the other. But what she wanted to find out was what the effect of godlessness had on those who had power. See, normally we look at these kinds of things on the victims, but what about the perpetrators? And she found out some things that shocked her. She found out what it's like to live outside of Christ, even if you have power, even if you have money, even if you have authority. Remember, Christ says, I am come that they may have life. I've come that they might have life. And we answer our own questions then, that if Christ doesn't come, we don't have life. If not for Christ coming, as a baby, not as a conquering hero, and dying a criminal's death outside the city, rejected, despised by even those closest to him. If we don't have him, we don't have life. From Kay Rubachek, speaking with powerful people, some of whom gave their names, some of whom did not. She spoke with bankers and doctors, powerful people who ran the lives of the people in China. And what was it like for these people? I want to give an illustration this morning of what it's like to be without Christ consistently and thoroughly. You see, today we'll say things like, well, there's nations that aren't Christian, they're okay. You know, we hear that about Scandinavia all the time, don't we? Oh, those countries are okay. They don't recognize Christ. They're not Christians. Scandinavia is one we always go to. But look at their flags. And every single one of them has the shape of a cross on it. See, this is what I'm going here. I want to present to you a picture of lifelessness outside of Christ, consistent lifelessness. We lost truth, this is Kay Rubachek. We lost truth a long time ago, he said. He then laughed. It is extremely miserable. I returned his laugh with a broad smile until the English translation of what he had said came into my ear a few seconds later. My smile disappeared. People there, speaking of China, don't live like real humans, he continued. They live like walking corpses. It's a world for ghosts, not for humans. Hold on, I interrupted, doing something that I religiously avoid doing when conducting an interview. Translator, I called out loudly so they could hear me through the interviewer's microphone. Did you translate his last sentence? I'm not getting his meaning. Walking corpses, walking ghosts. The translator stammered, obviously tired from well over an hour of continuous translation from Chinese into English. But now was not the time for a break. Walking dead? I asked, trying to maintain a calm exterior while my mind was racing. Yes, that's correct, replied the translator. I looked back at the interviewee. He was the highest ranking communist official we'd been able to get on camera so far. He was the first in charge of modernizing the technology of the Chinese Communist Party's public security system that oversees police and citizen control. The technology has since helped turn China into one of the most highly controlled and surveilled countries on the planet. I watched him as he continued to speak, momentarily ignoring the translation. He spoke without anger or remorse, but his tone showed a sense of apathetic disregard for me. She goes on to say that was the first of her on-camera interviews with a former high-ranking official in New York back in 2016. In subsequent interviews with more officials and Communist Party members, I would casually mention how someone had used the term walking dead to describe the state of Chinese people under the Chinese Communist Party today. Then I'd be closely watching for their response and from former officials living on opposite sides of the world who had never met each other, who worked in completely different departments in China, who were born in different generations and grew up in different regions. None of them batted an eye at the mention of the term walking dead. I had hoped it would be an anomaly that I could thereby justify ignoring the term, but to my alarm, the concept of China's walking dead was a norm to them. Oh yes, said another one. I have published several articles about that. This is a Chinese professor as a doctor of philosophy and a former Chinese Communist Party student. Yeah, walking dead, added another CCP member in broken English. He leaned toward me as if to avoid the camera and to indicate that we were now speaking off record. I have some thoughts, he continued, but they are probably useless for your interview. I encouraged him to continue. You know, in China, sometimes I was drunk and then did heart operations on people. I gulped, but he nodded and shrugged his shoulders. He had been a heart surgeon and worked most of his life at a large, prestigious hospital in China, particularly famous for organ transplantation operations. And policemen, drunk, and then go to their job. I raised my eyebrows and lowered my chin. With wide eyes, I searched his face for any hint to his grasp of his meaning. Oh, yeah. He said, policeman drunk, play games all night, the whole night, and then go to work. He was dead serious. Where was this, I questioned. Everywhere, 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 he said, waving his hands. Being in that environment is like being in a big vat of dye. Over time, it will change you. Gradually, you will lose your true self, your soul or your spirit. That will die. That's the walking dead. My friends, this morning, that is all the world without the coming of Christ. You see, what we heard here is consistency, a consistent godless system where man is enthroned as the power that is, and God is illegal to be spoken of, to be prayed to, or to even reading his word. Now, why am I here with such a, what could seem like gloomy message? My friends, I believe that something close to that, what we just read, is very close to what Christ entered into. You had, when he was born, you had, for example, you had the buying and selling of offices in the in Israel, in the priesthood. You had the iron fist of Rome on top of everyone. How in the world can we experience life? Only from the one who has come to give us life and to give it more abundantly. Think about it for a moment. What can man really offer? What can man offer as far as life on his own? What? No, my friends, all life comes from Christ. I am come that they might have life and even abundant life, and it's not possible outside of Christ. Outside of Christ, we will eventually be the walking dead. There's a reason why I think we're obsessed with those kind of TV shows. I think we maybe intrinsically know that that's where we're headed. And unless we embrace the source of life again, that is where we're headed. Well, on the other hand, John Bunyan, who wrote The Pilgrim's Progress, he sees in his dream as he presented it, a man who wants to live. And he presents it this way. He says, so I saw in my dream that the man began to run. Now he had not run far from his own door, but his wife and children, perceiving it, began to cry after him to return. But the man put his fingers in his ears and ran on crying, life, life, eternal life. So he looked not behind him, but fled towards the middle of the plain. Life, life, eternal life. But see, this is where we have a problem, is it not? In our modern era, we said that yes, Jesus Christ came to give us eternal life, but he has nothing to say about this life. But I say to you today that the Chinese Christians know something about life in the middle of that mess. They know that Jesus Christ brings eternal life, and he also brings life today. To us, here in this earth, in 2023. To wrap up, I want you to hear what Bunyan had to say. A man who knew something about life. Yes, he spent years in prison. And one of his great sadness in his life was that his daughter Mary, a blind young lady who he was very close to, died while he was in prison. And it hurt him deeply. But listen to what he says on his deathbed. On his deathbed, Bunyan said to those who gathered around him, weep not for me, but for yourselves. I go to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will, no doubt, through the mediation of his blessed Son, receive me, though a sinner, where I hope we ere long shall meet to sing the new song and remain everlastingly happy, world without end. There's a man who knew something about life. He knew life because he knew Christ. Do you know this Christ today? He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. Do you know him? He knows his own. Do you know him? He didn't stay a baby, did he? Remember, Simeon told Mary, a sword's going to pass through your heart as well. And what a horrible, disgusting, painful, embarrassing, repulsive death Christ died. You wouldn't have wanted to look at him. I know on our crucifixes, he looks kind of almost attractive, just kind of like a guy with a couple nails through his hand and feet and so forth. But we know what the scripture tells us, that he was unrecognizable. It would have been a sight that you would have wanted to look away from. It is that Christ who died for those horrible sins of the world. When we look at that Christ and how repulsive he looks, know that that's what our sin looks like to him. Is your sin on him today, or do you still have it yourself? He has come to give you life. I hope that you've trusted in him and will trust him if you haven't already.